Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Zamafia, Dr. Cappuccino. I see you guys are just really burning up the dashboard. Good morning, good everything to you. And I know you're happy to be on this show because, you know, a lot of people have been stating, you know, I think I'm going to commit suicide. I think I'm going to kill my wife. I think I'm going to walk off and get into another state. You know, I'm tired of living the way that I am. But, you know, there's hope. And when there's hope, there's always an opportunity that you can live a good life. Again, I'm Marcia, and they call me Dr. Cappuccino, and you are tuned in right now to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. What are you living for? Are you living for fame, fortune, and long life? What's going on with you? Some is saying, well, it isn't worth it, and the time spent chasing the wind, and, you know, as King Solomon said, that is not a good idea. But with years that are just passing by, filled with grief and pain, many are saying, you know what, our lives really should justify the right actions that lead to right living, and as well as precept security. So how can this be accomplished? Well, you know, we've been traveling with 1, 2, and 3 on before you say I do. Well, before you say I do to life, you need to know what you're looking for. And we have with us, I see his name here on the dashboard, Dr. Colonel Reverend William Harrison. I see that he's on again today. Dr. Harrison, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Dr. Cappuccino. Good morning to you and the listening audience. All is well. Just chilly on the East Coast, but it's warm on the inside.
Well, I tell you what, it is warm on the West Coast and warm on the inside. So, yes, I can testify to warmth. But listen, people are always calling and sending emails asking about you and a little bit about your background. Before we go a little further, tell us a wee bit about you.
Yes, Doc. Basically, I am a retired law enforcement executive. Spent 38 years in the law enforcement community, Washington metropolitan area, Washington, D.C. Police Department, 24 years, 2 years federal sector law enforcement, and 12 years Capitol Heights, Maryland as chief of police. And prior to that, I'm a native of the state of North Carolina and been in the Washington, D.C. area since 1965. And I've been blessed to obtain a criminal justice bachelor's degree. And and when I retired, I received my calling to the ministry by God, the Creator. And so I obtained my doctorate in theology degree. And so I'm pastoring Second Union Baptist Church, just about 8 blocks from the U.S. Capitol building. So that's a brief summary, and wrote a book and doing a lot of good, trying to help people and love people.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, then you're certainly qualified to not only speak on this show, but to speak about world events as they're unfolding moment by moment, and, of course, representing who you call the Creator. You said the Creator God. That's very good because, you know, a lot of people out there that are saying that, you know, God is dead or there's no God. They're back with that foolishness again. But they can add one cubit to their life. And for some reason, you know, there was a psalmist that says 70 or 80 with special mightiness. And I don't see or have heard of anyone that can add one bit of cubit to their life. You know, they rise up, become very good at what they do, become very powerful, and the next thing you know, they're laying dead. Oh, my goodness. It pays to depend on a high source, a high power. But, you know, people are running around not really, you know, realizing their goals. They're not realizing any mission. They tend to have no vision. They don't know what they're living for. Some are saying, well, you know what, by 60, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to have retired, I'm going to have bought a lot of property, you know. But is that something a person should be living for? It just really doesn't seem worth it because, you know, even if you live long life and you end up with $1 billion in the bank and you have all kinds of people chasing you for advice and you're sitting there humped over, slumped over in a wheelchair, can hardly speak. I mean, what do you make out of that?
Colonel Harrison, what do you think people should consider when they try to figure out, well, why am I here? What am I living for?
Doc, people have to have a purpose in life. If they have a purpose in life, then that will tell them or lead them to the reason why they are living. Without a purpose, which is a cause, which leads to a destination and leads to a reward and leads to uplifting, leads to encouragement, leads to feeling good about oneself, called self-esteem. Without a purpose, then life will become meaningless. But with purpose, it becomes meaningful. So a lot of people are going through life in despair because they haven't, they either don't have a purpose, or if they have a purpose, they haven't identified it yet. Everyone should seek to identify their purpose in life, and life will become meaningful to them.
Well, you know, Colonel, I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of crime. You saw, okay, from the beginning of the world, there's been crime. So I'm not going to zero in on that specifically, but there's crime in the world. There's a lot of mayhem going on. There's a lot of brokenness and brokenheartedness going on in the world. People are walking about, you know, as blind men and women. And because you just mentioned, you know, to really live a fulfilled life, you got to have a purpose. Many say, well, yeah, I don't care about that. I did not come here. I wasn't in the bed with mommy and daddy. Oh, yes, you were. You were conceived then. They're saying, I came here with no manual. I came here because two people decided to lay down. Oops, there it is. Here I am. So they have walked about, ran about, and they have moved about in a world unbeknownst to them that is only grateful and gracious to people of purpose. So when people feel like that, what do you think is the way that they can be helped to identify a purpose? And you hit the nail right there. You hit it on the head, because without a purpose, why get up in the morning? What am I doing? I don't know why I'm here. I have no purpose. What do you think can be done to help people realize a purpose in their life and for their life, a purpose for living?
What I found helps in one identifying a purpose, if they're unable to identify it by themselves, then they should seek counsel from a friend, from a relative, from a minister, from a counselor, and sit down and talk with someone who is of substance. Have their head on right, and tell them, here is where I am. I don't know what I want to do. I'm lost. Can you help me? And just kind of have confidence in them and pour into them what their problems are, and they can listen and identify a direction that the person should go in to find their purpose. A lot of people perhaps unable to find their purpose because they have to search inner self within themselves. They have to search within their inner soul to find the purpose. And some people perhaps are not capable of doing that because of despair. Then you go to someone else who you have confidence in that you can talk to, pour your heart out, and share it with them, and they can help lead and direct you and guide you to your purpose.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, I'm thinking, let's go back to the garden. Now, here we go, you know, Bible, God, okay, creator, so forth and so on. So when the first human pair was created, they had a opportunity, if I may call it that, to listen to instructions on what their purpose was to be. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. When the first human pair was created, they were created with a toolkit, a purpose. And I liked how you brought that up, because that ended, that stopped any man or woman from the Garden of Eden on from saying, oh, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I was created. I don't know why I was born. Yes, it is right there in infinite form. And when that, you know, if a person is not sure, they can get some confidence on there, get some confidence on, from a trusted friend or from, and whoever's on the line needs to mute the call because I'm hearing a lot of background noise here. Whoever it is, stop muted. Since they already came with a how-to manual, then it should not be a problem 2, 3, 4, 5 centuries into the future. Now, if I'm feeling bad, you know, I don't know which way to turn my direction, I don't know if I go to my friend if he's in the same shape I'm in. So I'm thinking, since this was the spirit that gave this first human there the edict and the instructions for life, I think I would rather go to someone that is spiritual, maybe someone from the clergy, because that is exactly where I think I would get the kind of counsel that I need. I can go to the psychiatrist. I can go to the psychotherapist. I can go to the psychologist. But I don't know anything about them. Many of them are committing suicide. So I think if I was going to send someone out for any counseling, I would send them back into the arms of one that has given these men and women the authority to talk on spiritual matters. And they would say, you have got to know your creator. You've got to get to know the one who started it all. You have got to come under the edict and the responsibility of doing what this invisible God or this invisible creator, whatever you want to call him, whatever you want to give him. I would imagine that you would want to follow his instructions. What do you have to say about that? Come on, Colonel.
I'm in agreement with you, Dr. Copentino. It begins with one identifying the creator. And it begins with the creator. Every human being was created for a purpose. Whatever one may call the creator, there's only one creator. And I won't get into the theological concept of it, but basically, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You may call them different names, but there's only one creator. And archaeology and discovery and all of that has proven that. Now, going back to the garden, man was created, woman was made. They were given a purpose. They were given instruction. They were placed in a particular garden and told what to do and what not to do. And when they did what thus said the Creator, they prospered. They did well. They found their purpose, and they were happy together. And when they transgressed, when they went against what the Creator told them to do, then they fell from favor with the Creator, and they nullified their purpose in life. Because primarily human beings were put here not only to serve the Creator, but to reproduce and have offspring and magnify and supply the earth with people and so we could help one another. We're our brother's keeper, we're our sister's keeper. No one would have need if we were following the guidelines and the dictate and instruction of the Creator many moons, many thousand years ago. And I'll pause.
My goodness, yes, that sure is right, because I don't think not one person should be groping around saying, you know, I'm going to put a gun in my head, you know, I'm going to end it all. I'm going to go in there and shoot 3 or 4 of my kids. I'm going to slice the throat of my wife. You know, all that's happening now. And I'm doing it because I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm depressed. I'm confused. I don't want to be here. And then here, bam, they're turning the weapon on themselves. No one should be in that shade because we have the edict there now. Is there anyone to blame for all of the misinstruction and misrepresentation of how men and women should be living? Well, some are blaming the clergy. I know you're wearing a clergy robe and a hat yourself. Fantastic ministry you are. We understand that. Many have gone. They've checked you out. You know, I see the hits on the site there. You're getting over 200 hits a month, and they're going to that page reading. Well, who is it? What is he about? Why is he even talking about anything? So you are an authority. You're considered an authority. But now these men and women that should be beholden to those that are out here confused. They don't know what to live for. They're dying for nothing, or they're dying for things that they feel, hey, I haven't accomplished, but, you know, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, and so forth and so on. So who do you think is or should be responsible for getting behind the wheel of identifying the purpose for men and women? Now, if we say, okay, it's the church folk, it's the preachers, it's the ministers. Well, many of the churches are closing up. Something's wrong. People are not going to these men and women for counsel. They don't feel they got anything to say. They don't feel that they're leading them or even leading themselves down the path of righteousness. What can we say about the lack of ministers or spiritual advisors in our world today that's available to help men and women reclaim that original purpose?
Originally, God set forth out of the garden after the first man and woman were cast out because of disobedience toward the Creator. They were given instructions how to live outside of the garden. So let's use the garden as an analogy compared to the modern day church. Yes, some churches are closing down in certain regions of the country, but not all regions. The church was originally given the assignment by the Creator to help people, to teach people, to show them the way, and uplift people and encourage people so they would find their purpose in life. And I found absence of the Creator, and I've met a lot of people along life's way, but absence of the Creator has been the most significant factor in my life and my family's life. Absent the Creator, people are pretty much so selfish, self-centered about themselves. So if the church is closed down and one doesn't have confidence in the church, then they're going to have to find a friend who is insightful, a friend that has wisdom, a friend that has knowledge that can listen to them and give them some heart-filled directions and instructions and things they should do in their lives to find their purpose. And so if the church is not doing it, then we have to find a fellow man or woman to do it. And there are people out there that are doing it, do have the ability, are qualified to help those who are seeking to find their purpose if they can't, or if they don't desire to go to the church or the church is not available. There are the people that they can seek out.
Yes, there's people that they can seek out, but now let's take this a little further. And I want to stay on this church thing. You know, I always tell everyone, all our listening audience, that, you know, this is not a religious station. This is a station that is proclaiming peace, faith, and family by the discussions and the discussion topics. So right now, with the way that the world has already went, do you feel there's hope for people that, you know, really want to get it together? They want to get their lives together, and they are looking at their friends who's just as messed up as them. They're looking at their families who's just as murderous and messed up as them. They are looking outside in the world. You know, a lot of the organizations supposedly held out to help others, they are looking out there. They're messed up as well. If the church is suffering, and we know that it is, they're suffering for instructions, they're suffering for those that are supposed to be the leaders, you know, of the world from a spiritual religious standpoint. If they're all suffering, what do you think should be their next way out?
That is the travesty that is upon mankind. The church is still the anchor. There's still hope in the church. All church doors are not closing. There's many different denominations. Certainly the church here in Washington, D.C., that I'm pleased to have the opportunity to minister unto those that come, is still teaching those same salient principles of the Holy Words to give people hope, give them direction, give them inspiration, give them guidance. And absence of an attachment with a Creator, absence of the church, one will struggle in life. one will halfway find their way, but not fully find their way. I've found that the glue that holds everything together, if I may use this example, the glue that holds everything together on earth and in my 70-plus years of life is number one, the Creator, and number two, the Creator's house of worship called the church. So all of them are not going to close. There are some in communities across the country that you can find, and you can go there, and you can get directions. Yes, there are some problems with some of the church houses, but I found most pastors are sincere in helping God's people. And so in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., there are as many churches as there are liquor stores. So they are plentiful here. I can't speak to the other regions of the country. But the church is the key. Absent of the church, you're going to have to find somebody positive and insightful, has wisdom you can tap into, pull onto, and just let them pour into you, and you follow the directions, and you should be able to find your purpose.
Wow, that sounds great, great, great. So if they're still seeking a purpose, we're saying that the purpose was already outlined in the garden there when the Creator said, go ye therefore and multiply. You know, some are not multiplying, those that are, you know, they're upset with life circumstances, so they're, you know, undergoing abortions. You know, I heard somewhere that there's been over 20 million black babies aborted in the last decade. And, you know, I'm saying, what's going on? Grandma never would have approved that. Great-great-grandpa never would have approved that. What seems to be wrong with the black race? Now, I'm shifting over a little bit because they seem to be the ones that have and are walking about without purpose. Now, you have some smart people like Dr. Louis Gates, and you have Farrakhan, you know, he's speaking on world change, and then you have some of the others like T.D. Jakes, and who's this other one that's just great? John Hagee. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm just naming a few that are still out there battling at the gates of evil. But now, where does that lead person that still is struggling with a purpose? Well, you know what, that was back then. I ain't going to have no babies. I'm not going to try and multiply. I'm not going to go you therefore and make disciples and teach and baptize others and try to be a good example in the world. I'm not going to do it. Where does that leave that person?
It's going to leave them devoid of the Creator's instructions. But clearly, the Holy Word said, thou shalt not kill. And so when babies are aborted, and the fetus is in the womb and there's a heartbeat, then you are killing that which is human, which is part of a human being and which comes from a human being. So when we go against that which is morally right, and morally right is the Creator's law, not man's law. Man make law and woman make laws, that they go and come just like the morning sun. But the moral law of the Creator, it withstands the test of time. The Holy Word said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We gotta grab and latch on and hold on to that which is eternal, that which is time without end. People just grabbing this, grabbing that, trying this, trying that. You're not going to find your purpose. You're not going to find your way. You will end up being disappointed, with despair, filled with despair, discouraged. You got to tap into that which was here before there was a beginning, called the Creator. And he still exists.
Wow. That's a big, big, big purpose for living. Now, why is it people have steered away from honoring that purpose? You know, they're laughing, they're entertaining themselves on all levels, they're going about, some of the movies now are grossing half $1 billion. People are putting their souls and spirits of their souls into the world on a much stronger level. Do you think there's any hope for those that are still searching for fame and fortune, but they still don't have a purpose?
You can't buy happiness. You can't buy love, you can't buy wholeness, you can't buy salvation. You have to earn it. You have to, and you have to attach yourself in, and position yourself in a way that you can receive long-term gratification and satisfaction. Satisfaction, not short-term. Yes, money is good, but money can also be the root of all evil because of the love of it. So money doesn't cure all evil. We still have social problems in this country, and there's plenty of money to solve it, but money has not solved it. So each person has to tap into somebody, whether it's the church, whether it's another person, or whomever, because we are brothers, our sister keepers, to find our way and not just perish out here chasing temporary gratification. I got this job paying that much money. I can buy this car. I can buy that. Those things are temporary satisfying. Only what we do for the Creator and following His directions and His guidance will last and will bless our souls and will bless us and fulfill us with happiness and hope for eternity.
Wow, you know, that sounds wow. You know, I got chills on my spine. What if people are not interested in an eternity? I'm interested in now. All I see is now. All I have is now. All I want to live for is now. What do you say to a group of people that say, well, you know, I don't know anyone that has touched the tips of eternity and will come back to write a book about it or come back to say anything about it. I don't want to wait. I don't know what's on the other side. I don't want to do that. What hope, if any, is it for those that do not accept the fact that there was an edict that gave a purpose, that gave man a purpose, a reason for living? What if they don't want to go that route?
If they choose not to go that route, Doc, I'm glad you asked that question. Excellent question. Then they will perish in this world based on the greed and based on arrogance and based on apathy and empathy and the lack of love for one another. The greatest man that ever lived that was given more wisdom by the Creator than any man, more wisdom and more wealth, his name was King Solomon. He was the son of King David. It's in the book of Proverbs, and I encourage the listening audience, if they haven't read it, to read it. Solomon had everything. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, which are girlfriends. He had 1,000 women. He had it all, and he allowed vanity, the material things, to get in the way of his thinking and cloud his judgment. And in it all, when he was around 75 years of age and he died at 77, he started writing Proverbs and Ecclesiastics and those holy books. And he said if he had to do it all over again, he would only accept the Creator and follow the Creator's instructions because he had it all, but it didn't fulfill him because he withdrew from the Creator of the universe.
Woo! Colonel Harrison just laid it on the line. You've been listening to Dr. Cappuccino on Marcia and Colonel Dr. Reverend William Harrison out of Washington, D.C., metropolitan area. Tune in next week for the Dr. Cappuccino show once again. What are you living for? Fame, fortune, and long, long part two. Thank you so very much for joining us today. We've had a ball as usual. Questions, call-ins, please feel free to do so. And again, we've listened to Dr. Colonel Harrison, the author of Civil Unrest, What is the Solution? Pick it up at Amazon.com, 1995. See you next week, Saturday, same place, same time. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, you do have a purpose. Thank you.